Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. On this program, fewer Americans are dying of heart disease, cancer, and stroke. There's a new report that came out today. The Library of Congress is to legalize jailbreaking. I guess for the young kids, for the electronics, we'll talk about jailbreaking today. And the hacking group Anonymous will reveal the identities of 1,000 Ku Klux Klan members ahead of the Ferguson anniversary. On the anniversary, they're releasing names, taking names and numbers. And a former St. Louis prosecutor has admitted that she helped cover up the police assault of a handcuffed man. So we have that this week in court and much more. I want to welcome you again onto the show. Now, if you have... this is your first time here, you can always catch us in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. I'm sure there's some news you can use always in the archives. And if you want to join the program, our number is area code 323-693-3038. That's area code 323-693-3038. Now, our first story, the U.S. economic growth had the brakes sharply put on it in the third quarter as businesses cut back on restocking warehouses to work off inventory. They said there's a glut in inventory, but it's a solid domestic demand and could be encouraging for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates in December. So it depends, I guess, on the holiday season. So everyone's stocked up and ready to apparently have their Christmas sale, so we'll see how that goes. Now, congressional leaders proposed to sell 58 million barrels of oil from the U.S. emergency reserves over 6 years, starting in fiscal year 2018, to help pay off the budget deal that ends the mandatory spending cuts. Now, these spending cuts has been in since President Obama has been in office, after his first 2 years. So there was mandatory spending cuts, and that's why there's been no hiring government side and no highway transportation bill, none of that stuff. But according to a copy of the bill that's proposed or they posted on their congressional website, but they're proposing that inside of the current bill, a strategic petroleum reserves, which hold more than 695 million barrels of crude in Texas and Louisiana. The lawmakers have been eyeing this for a few times, and this time this year to pay for new drug programs and highway maintenance, they want to use 58 million barrels. Now, economists have said reducing the SPR stocks, and that's the Strategic Petroleum Reserve stock, is the right idea at the wrong time given the low crude oil prices. So if the oil was a little higher and they sold the reserves, I guess they'll make a lot more money. Now, the White House has encouraged Congress to pass a budget compromise. A copy of that bill is found on the U.S. government website. If you want to go there, www, you don't need to put that, but it's 1.usa.gov 208F0UB. That's 208F 0UB, if you want to go check that out. See, if you didn't know by now, the government actually owns the Internet. That's why Server 1 is a government server. 1USA.gov. Now, or 1.USA.gov. All right, now the Los Angeles City Council unanimously approved a new law this week requiring gun owners in the city to keep them locked up or to have a locking mechanism on the weapon. Now, the new law would require gun owners to keep a gun, to keep the guns in their home in a locked container if their weapons do not have a safety mechanism whenever their guns are not close at hand. Now, there are some questions to for the people who have the right to carry them, if you can keep them near your nightstand or whatever, but the law is meant to protect your children. So if you have children in the house, they want you to either have a locking mechanism or a gun case or something, to a lockbox, either way. But that just passed unanimously in Los Angeles City Council. President Obama returned to his hometown of Chicago this week to address a law enforcement conference where he touched on hot-button issues in the U.S., public opinion against police departments, excessive prison sentences for nonviolent offenders, and gun control. Now, his appearance at the annual International Association of Chief of Police conference was part of an effort to build bipartisan support for reforming the federal criminal justice system. During his speech, the president also pushed for wholesale changes to the nation's prison system, where he said too many nonviolent offenders are serving too long of sentences that don't fit the crime. So without going into that conference too much, that's what happened on that news front. But tell us something that we don't know. But I guess he had to kind of talk to police chiefs and let them know you're doing a little too much. Motorola this week says that its new Droid Turbo 2 handset boasts the world's first shatterproof screen. Now, I know a lot of people shy away from the Motorola BlackBerry kind of stuff, but hey, it uses a series of technology from a flexible screen to a hardened lens to protect the phone. So I guess it's one of the more durable. So if you're going camping or, you know, are you rough on your phone, get a Droid Turbo 2. Guess it's supposed to be one of the best. Now, a former St. Louis prosecutor has admitted this week that she helped cover up a police officer's assault on a handcuffed suspect, during which the officer shoved a pistol down the man's throat. Now, Bliss Worrell, 28, pled guilty in federal court this week on felony charges of misprision, I guess is what it's called. It's a felony, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Misprision, I guess is what it's called, involves helping someone cover up a crime. Now, I know the commission's on, so if you want to help me out with that term, feel free. The Clayton, Missouri resident admitted failing to tell a judge and supervisors that she knew of the incident, and she also admitted to helping file a false charge against the suspect. So what happened is that not only did this guy get abused, they actually charged him with resisting arrest. Of course, when you get arrested for resisting arrest, that's always going to be a problem. So there you have it. St. Louis, a former St. Louis prosecutor. And the University of Mississippi quietly this week removed the state flag from its Confederate battle emblem from the place of honor on campus Monday morning after students and faculty called it a divisive symbol that undermines efforts to promote diversity, tolerance, and respect. So interim Chancellor Morris Stocks waited until after a brief ceremony was over that day to announce that he had ordered the flag lowered and sent to the university's archives. The action came days after the student senate, the faculty senate, and other groups adopted a student-led resolution calling for the removal of the banner from the Oxford campus. And you know, that's been a bad thing for the Southern elites, is what they call it, since it was founded in 1848. 1848 is the University of Mississippi, and if you want to look in the archives, it's not going to be pretty. So they easily got rid of the Confederate battle flag emblem. And speaking of those times, the hacking group Anonymous is threatening to reveal the identities of 1,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan to mark the first anniversary of the Ferguson protest. Now, it's dubbed Operation KKK. The cyber activists say that they will shut down websites and other social media accounts affiliated with the white supremacist group next month. In a statement last week, the hacking group wrote, KKK, it has come to our unfortunate attention that you have been interacting your racist motivations and potentially targeting people of different races due to your actions. We will be rearranging Operation KKK. We've gained access to yet another one of your Twitter accounts. Using the information obtained, we will be revealing about 1,000 of your Klan members' identities. The aim of our operations is nothing more than cyber warfare. Anything you uploaded will be taken down. Anything you use to promote the KKK will be shut down. So there you have it. I guess that was the warning from Anonymous, the group Anonymous. There you have it. All right. Now, the Library of Congress issued new rules Wednesday allowing customers to legally customize their digital service or their digital devices beyond the manufacturer's limit. So if you haven't heard of this, the practice is called jailbreaking and has been restricted in the past by manufacturers on the grounds of copyright protection. But the new rules will allow smartphones, tablets, and Wi-Fi hotspots, wearable devices, and smart TVs, and automobile software to be legally altered. Now, jailbreaking video game consoles, e-readers, laptops, desktops, computers, and handheld gaming devices is still prohibited based on the 2012 Library of Congress finding that console jacking is closely tied to video game piracy. So the legislation takes the form of exemptions to Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or the DMCA, allowing people who engaged in non-infringing legislation, engaging in non-infringing uses of certain classes of such words to jailbreak them. So that means that if you have your phone, if you didn't hear the story last year, that in this digital act, if you opened up your phone or changed the SIM card in it or had a phone and altered it, that it was a crime. So the Library of Congress, who actually sets the rule under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, says if it's yours, you can do that, as long as you're not trying to rebuild your phone. So the Library of Congress has powers related to the copyright protections, including the right to make exemptions to that DMCA. Jailbreak exemptions will go into effect in 2016 and will be reevaluated in future meetings. So you're not breaking the law when you lose your password and you try to figure out how to get back in your phone. I always thought that was kind of crazy. And anyway, so all right. So you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 323-693-3038. I am going to go to the phone lines and bring in the commish, because I called you up a little earlier, commish. So I might as well get my licking in case I did that wrong. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I had to, as I was looking at the stories, I'm like, there's a lot of legal stories today. I'm trying to figure out where is this. It seems weird to me that it's like, we always have some legal information like this just happened in court or this happened this week, but some of them are kind of like little subtleties that change that people may not know about. So they always are good discussions.
Yeah, I think I am muted on the former prosecutor from where? South Carolina, did you say?
No. The former prosecutor was in St. Louis near Ferguson. She was in a suburb near Ferguson. She was a St. Louis County prosecutor. Yes.
Oh boy. So you referenced her, right? Was it a she?
Yes. Yep. She. Not only did she lie in falsified documentation, when the police officer told her what happened, she started the ball rolling by falsifying the information, and another prosecutor heard her in the office, is how she got convicted. Like, it's why she's in court anyway.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you, because you said former, and I was like, is she former because of this, or is she former and trying to, you know, clean up her or get some kind of redemption so she could die in peace, like former?
Yeah, because, you know, you can't prosecute a prosecutor for false prosecution, but you can prosecute them for falsifying evidence. Right, so she actually manipulated. I mean, she pled guilty in federal court. It was the Justice Department that did it. So it was a felony charge in federal court.
I would love to know what happened that what led to her pleading guilty. I would love to know that.
I think somebody blew out her. All the stuff that was going on in Ferguson, and when the Justice Department came in and said that they were prosecuting people for profit and all those, I think it was a part of that whole thing as they gathered all of that information out of DA's office. I think it's all the same.
Oh, got it. Okay. So she got busted.
Yeah, and then someone in the office, when we're being interviewed, said, yeah. Because this is the guy that was handcuffed, and he had a gun shoved down his mouth, and I think he was beaten. And in that investigation is where they found that she lied on that. Like, who's going to lie about having a gun put in their mouth? Anyway, then, let me back up a little bit. Woosah out of that one. But I'm just saying, some of it is so ridiculous. I don't know why when people of color say something, just black people in particular, whenever they say something, it's always scrutinized. So one of the emails I got just before the show, someone asked would we talk about the videotape of the girl who was drugged out of her desk, and I said not necessarily. I didn't have it on the slate unless we decided to talk about it. And it's interesting the spin on that, where the sheriff said, oh yeah, you didn't see the video before where she hit him. And I'm like, you can't just throw stuff out there just to try to make it look like he was in the right. It amazes me how that works. Did you hear that at all?
She's a teenager, but we didn't see the video. See, okay.
We saw it all. But the sheriff, when he came out, when he went to the podium, he said that, and I think police departments normally act this way. Whenever they see something on film, they always say, you didn't see what happened to make that happen before the film, before the video started. But in this case, they started rolling the film when he was pulling the laptop off of her desk. Like, he was calmly, you know, moving stuff out of the way. So that's before he actually put his hands on her and she, you know, hit him back. So nuts like CNN tried to slow down the tape, saying, look, she's trying to hit him, but you're going to hit somebody if they choke you. You do have a right to defend yourself. But it's interesting that only people of color, only black people get treated like that. Whereas, like, what were you thinking by not doing what the policeman said? It's like, this is a school, and it is not, you know, you should not be trying to press kids with law like that.
But
I don't know.
The other thing, we actually did a skit, if you will, on that in in class tonight. You know, everybody is on the seminary. So they actually brought it. One of the professors or one of the TAs is a former police officer. And so she had us do this skit where in order to open up the opportunity for people to see how this should have gone, you start the skit out by doing what we heard happen, right? And at any point, anybody in the classroom, it's called spect actor, right? So everybody in the audience is an actor and can participate. So at any point where you see that somebody, the thing is going south and you think you can do something better, you raise your hand. So we had an opportunity to try and work it through. Not try, we actually did work it through to see how this could go completely different. And so the thing about this is it's almost like, you know, the police will go to a house, let's say domestic violence, right? And the first, you know, a lot of times the first thing the guy will say, if it's a guy that is being called on for doing the hitting, well, she hit me first. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then one of the cops says, you're not supposed to put your hand, you know, don't put your hand on a woman. If it was her father that hit her, that did, and he said, oh, she hit me, you know, he'd be in jail right now. If that was her father. So I don't understand why we think that it's okay for some grown man to feel like he can lose his ego and go in and rip a young lady in high school out of her seat and beat her down and drag her in a tree. I just do not get why anybody thinks that that's okay and why they even think that making up a story that she hit him first or that she was trying to hit him, even if she did, that would be, oh,
right,
he hit him. Oh, well, that changes it. You know, now I see why he did that. You know, no.
Right.
No.
That's my thought about it anyway, because remember the girl who was at the pool party and the policeman threw her down on the ground and all of that stuff?
Yes, I do.
It's the same thing. You're taking teenage girls and you think you can fight them. Like, that's an issue that they need to deal with. You shouldn't, first of all, you shouldn't be wrestling anyone, like, that's just generally, and especially when they're adolescent and they're not fighting you, right? They're everybody is going to resist. I mean, that is just kind of the law of how your body works. You're going to try to breathe if somebody's choking you. You're going to fight someone off you. And I remember this, again, I know I mentioned this, and Kai does on the show, that our friend Johnny Gamage, who was killed by the Pittsburgh Police Department, they, as you know, he weighed, I don't know, 140 pounds soaking wet, 160 or something, and as they were knees to the chest and putting their body weight on him, and he couldn't breathe, they said, stop struggling. Like, your body contracts like that. If you cannot breathe, you're going to gasp for air. And that was a part of what their case was in court, saying, well, he wouldn't stop moving. It's like, are you kidding me? Anyway, pretty sick.
He's having
so
a seizure, maybe. You know, people have a seizure, can't
well,
stop
you,
moving.
You can't, but you cannot stop anybody from trying to, matter of fact, not just breathe, but you cannot put your hands on anybody. The law can't break the law either. Right, so if you don't break the law,
you're kidding.
There's right, but there is no that's assault, like it is for somebody, a stranger doing that. Just because you have on a uniform, you can't break the law either. So inappropriate touching is still inappropriate
to
touching.
That, Jerome, I think you need to make a phone call because I don't think a lot of people got that memo.
Well, I think that we need to change laws in this country. I think that we've gone so far overboard with policing that they don't know what the rules are in policing. I think we need to pass laws that says that if you're inappropriately touched or handled by a police officer and your charge is resisting arrest and that's your only charge, you should be able to sue the police department. Because you shouldn't touch them for them to resist, right? That can't be your charge. Because you can't grab anybody. You cannot invade their space So if you have your hands on me, and my charge, I'm getting charged with pulling away from you. Technically, that's not a charge. And I'll be glad when judges start. I know they normally throw that stuff out, but it's sad that you have to go to court for them to throw it out. It's a problem.
It's a problem.
All right. All right. since I've been there. All right. So China, let me go back to the news for a second. China will ease its family planning restrictions that allows all couples to have two children after decades of a strict one-child policy. I don't know if you heard that, but they started easing it in late 2013 when Beijing, the capital, said that it would allow more families to have two children when parents met certain conditions, and now they took that off the table and said you can't have two children. Now, this has been going on since the 70s. Since the late 70s,
they had
a one-child limit. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. You can smoke as much as you want, though, and ruin it. Did they list it on girls, too?
No, they just said...
Does it have to be a boy?
I think there's some kind of stipulation in there too about that. I think you can, if you had one kid and it was a girl, you can't have another one until you get a boy. Now, if you had a boy first, you can't have any more kids. It was weird.
I know.
Yeah, you knew it was something in there, right? To favor or one way or another. But apparently, around the middle of this century, they estimate that one in every three Chinese will be over 60 years old. So they had a dwindling portion of working adults. So they need some young kids.
That's why by
the time they get their working papers, and again, this is China, so they may be working a little younger, but anywho. I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry. I had to choke on that
one. I'm not jumping in that one with you, Rob.
I know.
If you're listening, write it free.
All right, fine. I'll just go there. Until it's going to take at least about, I'm going to base it on this country and say you can't get your working papers till you're about 16. I'm going to say that here.
Okay.
I don't know what it is in China, but. I would say at least, even if you lift the cap off of that, by the time the kids are born, 9 months, you still got about 16 years to wait. Okay, I tried to keep it there. All right, now fewer Americans are dying of heart disease, cancer, and strokes than ever before. They said the mortality rate for those killer conditions they're plunging, like they're going down. So a study by the American Cancer Society revealed that between 1969 and 2013, the age standardized death rate for all causes of death fell by 43%. Man. So that's with heart disease, strokes, cancer, and diabetes. 43% since 1960. Now, you know, they didn't break that out. Well,
oh,
you know,
I didn't say.
But you know what they did break out today? So I don't want to go conspiracy theory on this because I don't like talking like that. But here's the thing. So this study comes out that says we're down 43% since 1969. And the exact same day, there's a study that says, hey, black women are starting to get breast cancer at a rate of white women. And I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, our DNA makeup is different, so we don't have the same markers. So if all of these years black women did not have the rate of breast cancer, obviously black women died at a higher rate because of, you know, treatment. But for some reason, on the day that they released the study, they are scaring all black women to go get checked. And I'm thinking, there's something really sick about the scientific community. So you can find a scientist to say something to kind of offset and scare everybody at the same time they get good news.
If I remember correctly, the last studies I saw was that black women were getting breast cancer at a higher rate. So if they're saying that, do we know whether or not they're saying it's now lower for black women as well?
No, what they're saying is black women die at a higher rate.
Huh?
They said black women die at a higher rate of breast cancer than white women. That's what those studies were, right?
That's always supposed to care. But I'm saying that I thought that black women also got breast cancer at a higher rate than white women.
No. Actually, those numbers were lower. I just looked at them, too, and those numbers were somewhere around, I want to say that white females were like 43 per thousand, and black women were like at 28. It's always been lower.
Uh-huh.
And so they're saying now that those numbers are starting to even up. And then they blame that on women in the South, and they said it might be, obesity and all these other things. It is so flawed. I didn't even want to do the story. I didn't even put it in the show for that reason, because I thought they're just making stuff up on the fly. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, black women, y'all should be scared too. Like, whatever to you. We got enough to be scared about. It's not just white women. It's not just for white women anymore. All right. So here we go. So, speaking of cancer, Pittsburgh Steeler running back D'Angelo Williams was fined $5,787 for wearing a black Find the Cure strip under his eyes in honor of his mother who died from breast cancer. Now, he and another guy were fined for just kind of out of respect to their mother's dying that they did some kind of insignia, and they still fined them. They said it was not code for, uniform code violation or whatever. Fined him $5,000 for that, or $5,700.
The
NFL. The people who just signed a billion-dollar contract.
Did they donate the money to the Breast Cancer Foundation? Did they donate the money to the...
No, they're pocketing that money.
I need to hear that piece. They had to send the money to the American Cancer Society or to the Breast Cancer. They had to, and I want to see that story next week. Well, call them up. If we got to fine you because that's just policy, know that we'll fine you and send the money for research.
Yes. Yes. Or they should just let them donate it directly to them. But they should say, oh, you have to give $5,000. It's probably like I already gave them $10,000. So why are you fining me again? All right. Now, the billionaire Hobby Lobby boss, that snore Hobby Lobby, is under federal investigation for possibly smuggling hundreds of Middle Eastern biblical artifacts to exhibit in their museum of the Bible. Now, the Green family has been under investigation for the last 4 years under U.S. Customs. And U.S. Customs seized 300 clay tablets meant to be delivered to the Christian retail craft store in their Oklahoma City headquarters. Okay, now, here's what I'll watch a lot of History Channel, right? So I'll watch ancient alien to, Egypt with Egyptologist stuff, ancient Egypt kind of stuff. And it still amazes me why Europeans dig up people's graves. That is the most amazing thing to me in the world. It's like, let me find out what they died of. And it's like, would you leave people's graves alone? I don't know what to say about that. But anyway.
So what
happened is that they are digging up our artifacts, and so the Hobby Lobby family have a museum of the Bible, and apparently they are smuggling artifacts from the Middle East into their headquarters in Oklahoma City, 3,000 clay tablets, and some other things.
But the smuggling piece is what's confusing me.
Why?
Because why do they have to smuggle it?
because it's illegal, they shouldn't be taking artifacts from other countries. That's their antiquities.
It's stolen? God.
Yeah. Come on. Here's the thing. We know there's a black market for pretty much everything, but I think we've been complaining about this for a couple centuries, like that Europeans go to Africa, take stuff, bounce, and act like, ooh, look what we found.
The Bible Museum? I mean, like, I'm sorry.
That's what they're creating, a Bible museum, and they're stealing antiquities. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that coming. My fault. You're stealing stuff to put in a Bible museum. I'm glad you caught that, because I never even caught that problematic.
I like that. And then I'm like, I don't know why I don't get this wrong. You got to help me. And I know you're like, well, yeah. I'm like, really?
No, I didn't.
The Bible
I didn't
museum.
See it like you did. Yeah,
Lord.
Yeah. Stole stuff at a Bible museum. Yeah. Ooh. I didn't see that coming. All right, thank you, Hobby Lobby, for that. Stolen by, hey, and they weren't going to display them for free either. By the way, you were going to get charged for that.
Oh God!
All right, now.
Give that, but they know not what
they. See, I'm not going to go there. See how you wouldn't go into that last story? I'm not going there. I'm Hobby Lobby. You're going to get what you're going to get. But I say that about people digging up stuff anyway.
You know,
in Ethiopia. You know, the Egyptians who were there during the pyramids have been pushed out to the Sudan and Ethiopia anyway. So the people who are there now are more Arab than they are former Egyptians. And in Ethiopia and Sudan with those, they said that 80% of those burial temples and pyramids that's in those countries, I'm sorry, it's more like 95% of them are untouched. They will not let them go in and dig up those graves. So they're like, it has to be unimaginable, like gold, because they buried them with all of these things. And I am glad that somebody is holding out. But from day one, they said at least about from the surveying that somewhere like 95-96% of it is still just untouched. But they're raking through Egypt like crazy, apparently. They're like, what's up under here? All right.
My God.
So, all right. Now, Byron Allen Entertainment Studios, I didn't know they did this, but they produce and distribute 38 television programs worldwide and own 8 24-hour HD cable networks. They've announced that they're acquiring Los Angeles-based independent film distributor company called Freestyle Releasing. Freestyle Releasing is a full-service theatrical motion picture distribution company that specializes in representing independent films. So Byron Allen, those guys are making moves over there.
And they would have more if it wasn't for, well, okay, I won't say it.
No, they would have more if Time Warner and Cox and all the other ones didn't collude to get them out of there. That's why Byron Allen's network is not on TV.
Somebody else, they said, was involved.
Yeah.
But you know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it either. Now, Quincy Jones did make a statement, though. Quincy Jones said, this is a historical moment in the film industry, and one of the best ways to address diversity in our industry is through finance and distribution, and Byron Allen has now taken the first major step, which is long overdue. I am very proud of Byron and hope that he adopts me. That's Quincy Jones. I hope he adopts me too. But out of all the flack of, you know, and he sued for something like $100 million, like Time Warner and all of those guys for, you know, fictitiously putting Magic Johnson's network on and Oprah's and Puffy's Revolt. He just said they're glorified partnerships, but they're not 100% African-American owned. And Byron Allen distribute 38 television programs and 8 24-hour cable networks. How can you have 8 24-hour channels and not have any in any major networks or any major markets? Yes, sir. Yes, it is. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks cheerleader, files a minimum wage lawsuit against the NBA for playing as little as $3. I guess it's $3 an hour. Lauren Harrington, 22, worked 30 to 40 hours in an average week in one season for the team. She makes about $3.50 to $4.50 an hour and was not compensated for overtime. So she was paid a flat rate of $65 a game, $30 for practice, and $50 for special appearances. But her demanding schedule required her to work up to 20 hours a week in the gym, 10 hours a week in practice, and self-funded tanning sessions and 2.5 hours of preparation before the games. She said that she earned as little as $3 an hour, less than half of their $7.25 minimum wage in Wisconsin. They are ripping the cheerleaders.
I can't even speak.
Yeah, because remember, we did this story. So in 2014, Oakland Raiders paid out this $1.2 million to a cheerleader for failing to meet minimum wage paying overtime. In March 2015, Tampa Bay Buccaneers agreed to $825,000 settlement with their cheerleading squad after they were paid as little as $2 an hour. And last week, Cincinnati Bengals proposed a $250,000 payout settlement in a similar lawsuit for their cheerleaders.
What is the problem? Is it? Could somebody tell me why, with all the money that they make, they don't pay the athletes? Come on.
No. They said the average for the whole league in athletics, like for football, is $9 million. That's the average for all of the players. And they get minimum. They don't even get minimum wage. Okay, and so here's what they tell them. It's a glam job. You can go on to modeling. That is bull. It's like saying, hey, if you're in a background scene on Martin, you can be famous. Like, you're just a bit player bigger picture.
Okay, wait. This is the NFL. I thought this was the NCAA. You said cheerleaders and she was doing school stuff. I thought this was the NCAA.
No. This is Milwaukee Bucks cheerleaders.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is the NBA. So it's the NBA. But I'm sorry, football is not that high. The average salary of all of the players in the NBA, the average salary, $9 million.
And the cheerleaders are making $2 and $3 an hour.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. That says something about, and so here's how they get around the labor laws. Oh, they're contracted workers. And so the teams don't own the cheerleaders. They don't employ them. They just contract somebody else to create a cheerleader squad to come in and cheer during the games.
And they pay the contracted company how much?
Yes. Yes. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen, because these guys have a show, the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. They have a show, but they actually, that is a business. And they are not owned by Jerry Jones. The Dallas Cowboys don't own them. The cheerleaders are their own entity. Somebody was getting sued. It was kind of.
Do we know how much they make?
No, I don't think they get anything either. I think they get some.
The women have to go on strike. What's going to happen? What?
All right. Well, wait a minute. I have to tell the story before we get out because the music's about to come on. But a cracker that survived the sinking of the Titanic 1912 sold for $23,000. I'm going to say this really slow. It is a biscuit. That's what they called it. But it was a cracker from the original survivor kit aboard the Titanic's lifeboat that sold for $23,000. See, I know I was going to say that really, really slow and then play the outgoing music.
It was in the survivor kit?
It was in the survivor kit.
They saved the cracker, but they let all those people die.
You know
okay.
What? I don't know how that happened, but the guy who had it was named James Fenwick. He was a passenger on the Carpathia. It was a ship that picked up survivors, and he saved the cracker in an envelope with a notation reading, "Pilot Biscuit from the Titanic lifeboat, April 1912. He saved the cracker. Thank you very much. And we'll see you again next week. No
pun intended.
Hey, that's what he saved.